Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Last year, you may have made some smart decisions, and you may have made some not-so-smart decisions. Like, maybe you had one too many shots of tequila at your company party. The good news is, making smart financial decisions is easier than you think. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the weekly know-how you need to get ahead. Sean and Sarah, the hosts of Smart Money, break down the latest financial news and give you honest, objective money advice. Subscribe to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Uh-oh. Penny Hardaway is not happy. Penny Hardaway is not a happy man. His team just lost. Memphis, they go down to Florida Atlantic. The final score, 66-65. Florida Atlantic FAU, they have never won a game in the NCAA tournament. Until now. And Penny Hardaway is just, man, he threw a water bottle. He walked off. He was pretty miserable. Shout-outs to Dusty May, head coach of Florida Atlantic. They're going to take on what? Fairleigh Dickinson? Like, what world are we living in? It's been a wild day. A wild day for college basketball. You're locked into the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. And it's been a wild one. I've been hanging out here with you for 2 hours so far. We got 2 hours left. We're heading into the weekend. We're whittling down from a field of 64 down to 32 over the weekend. And we got three more games left for tonight. The big game that you're going to hear about just incessantly over the next 24 hours is obviously Purdue losing to Fairleigh Dickinson. The final score there, 63-58. It's only the second time ever that a 16th seed has beat a number one. And the only time we saw that was a few years ago when UMBC beat Virginia. Fairleigh Dickinson, congratulations. They're going to take on Florida Atlantic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to holler at me, it's simple, 855-212-4CBS. I'm on all social media at JR Sport Brief. And if I got to think about the remaining games, and we've had a busy one. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Shep, super producer and host Dave Shepard, is holding it down in New York City. Just even thinking about some of the current active games. So Florida Atlantic just beat Penny Squad 66-65. This game is coming to a close. It looks like Kansas State is going to hold on and beat Montana State 75-62. There's about a minute left in that game. We have Arizona State. They're currently in good shape against TCU. They lead 62-54. There's 6 minutes left in that game. In Indiana, looks like they will take care of Kent State. They lead 45-33. 16 minutes left in that game. And I would think, unless any of these teams go on a ridiculous run, Arizona State and TCU, they're pretty close. But I think we're done for tonight with the wild games. I think we're done with the wild upsets. A matter of fact, the wild game that just ended with Florida Atlantic having the ball, down two, needing a score in order to beat Memphis, and that's exactly what Florida Atlantic did. I want you to hear this. Nicholas Boyd was able to get into the lane, hit a layup, 2 seconds left. This is courtesy of Westwood One. Listen to it.
Davis gets the basketball. Looking, peering, kicks it into the right corner. Boyd fakes the three, drives into the paint to the rim. Finger roll over the front of the rim is good. Florida Atlantic 66, Memphis 65. No timeouts for the Tigers. Womack ahead to McCadden. No good on the shot. And Florida Atlantic, for the first time in school history, is a winner in the NCAA tournament. 66-65, the Owls fly on to the round of 32, knocking off the Memphis Tigers by one. What a finish, what a ball game, and what a drive by Nick Boyd to provide the winning margin for the Owls.
It's so poetic, I love it. Yeah, they were down 64-65. The 2 points obviously gave them the lead and the victory. And I watched it when they inbounded the ball, and he just, I'm not going to say he waltzed in. He just, he was unobstructed. They made that layup too damn easy. That's why I know Penny Hardaway was so mad. Penny Hardaway was like, damn it, do I need to go out there and play defense? Congratulations, Florida Atlantic. You won your first tournament game in NCAA history. Good for you. Now you're going to match up with Fairleigh Dickinson? Like, what world are we living in? And Fairleigh Dickinson, the end of that game was just as nutty about, I don't know, 2.5 hours ago. They overcame a 7'4" giant in Zach Edey. Sean Moore, Fairleigh Dickinson scored like 9 consecutive points at the end of the game. A Purdue gets eliminated again, the second consecutive year, by a team from New Jersey. Last year, St. Peter's beat them. Come on now. Fairleigh Dickinson won 4 games last year. Fairleigh Dickinson is the shortest team in Division I basketball. The average player has a height of 6'1". What the hell was wrong with Purdue? Were they just sleeping at the wheel? What's going on with Matt Painter? We'll talk about him in a second. Let's listen to the winners. As a matter of fact, let's just go to the final call. This is a shocker. The second time ever a 16th seed beat a number one. This is the final call. Fairleigh Dickinson coming out on top over Purdue, 63-58.
The inbound comes, overshoots everyone, scooped up by Roberts, and that'll do it. The Knights have slain the Dragon for the second time in NCAA tournament history. A 16 has beaten a 1, and the FDU Knights are that 16, knocking off number 1 in the East, Purdue, 63-58.
Come on now. That wasn't supposed to happen. How come the 7'4" guy couldn't just block everybody? Like, Shy, what are we doing? Of course, I'm being facetious, but you get my point. The whole team on average is 6'1". What? 6'1"? I can play on the team if that's the case. 6'1"? After the game, Purdue's head coach Matt Painter, who just lost to Fairleigh Dickinson, lost to St. Peter's last year, and in the last tournament appearance, they lost to North Texas. They were ranked 13th. Matt Painter said, listen, folks, we ain't get the job done tonight. Listen to what he said.
What we've tried to form within our system in terms of recruiting is to have the balance of a great, you know, great bigs with skill. And obviously you need to shoot 5 for 26. And this wasn't something for us that was just today. You know, we had a couple stretches during the season. It's frustrating. I think it kind of just mounted for us, and it got worse at times just because I think we shot 1 out of rhythm, 3 in front of me, maybe another one. But, like, the game plan for people is not to, like, stay in there on him and then go contest. Like, they stay in there on him, and they don't even contest.
Well, he's going to have a lot of time to think about that next year. He got a whole offseason ahead of him. Let's hear from a winner. Fairleigh Dickinson Knights head coach Tobin Anderson. He told his guys before the game, he's like, listen, folks, I've been watching Purdue. We could beat them. After the game, he said, yeah, I didn't necessarily want that to be public, but it was. But I believed it. My guys believed it. Listen to Tobin Anderson postgame.
I wanted our guys to believe, you know, right? I mean, as a coach or a leader, you got to try to get them to believe in what we're doing, how we're doing it. So if I walk in there and say, hey, you know, I don't say anything. Now, I would have preferred there was not a camera in there. It was a right message, wrong audience. I would have said that with no camera in there. So I didn't mean to get Purdue upset. So that was not the idea at all. But that was got to be the message. Like, we're trying to win the next game. Like, we just can't be happy to be here. And the guys got to believe.
Wow. Now they're going to take on Florida Atlantic? Okay. I ain't had that one on my bingo card. I didn't see that in my crystal ball. But that's what it will be on Sunday. And one of these teams is going to go on to the Sweet 16? What? We're going to see Florida Atlantic or Fairleigh Dickinson in the Sweet 16? Sure, why not? Somebody got to keep on rolling, right? Speaking of rolling, it's a final here. Kansas State knocks off Montana State. The final score there, 77-65. Indiana is continuing to beat the brakes slowly but surely off of Kent State, 52-37. And this looks like it will be a good one. Arizona State, with about little less than 4 minutes left in the game, Arizona State leads TCU 65-62. Things are getting warmed up in Denver, Colorado in this first round matchup. It's a good one. So we've had a ridiculously busy Friday. We've had a ridiculously busy Thursday. It's been all about ball. It's all been about college ball. Now I take a breath. Okay. Ooh. Rick Pitino loses. Let me run through some of these other games because it's been nutty. Unfortunately for all my friends here in Georgia, rooting for Kennesaw State, they lost to Xavier 72-67. Pittsburgh moves on. They beat Iowa State 59-41. Oh, this is a good one. Arizona State and TCU, they're playing it close here. Wow. Hey, Shep, this the time has flown by, and then we saw
you
Miami and Drake. Say again, Shep.
You don't say.
Yeah, this. I feel like this is like a holiday. You got to capture it while it's here, because then it's gone. Like, we're going to have all these games tomorrow, and then we'll have games on Sunday, and then it becomes, like, it starts to become normal after that. Like, if you missed it, you're cooked. You don't get yesterday or today back, and then we got to wait another year for this.
You know, watching the games, and it's exciting, it's fun, but it doesn't seem the same that it did 10, 15 years ago.
Why?
JR, because, again, like, you had great teams. Like, even, I'm even thinking back to that 2015 Kentucky team, when they had a chance to join Indiana as an undefeated team, which had not happened since 1976. And I just, there's not even a Zion Williamson, whether he's in a sneaker or not. You know, for me, there's no generational type talent when I look at the college basketball game. You said it many times last night. So many of the coaches that people are enamored by, huge fans of, they're no longer here. You know, people that pay attention to basketball know that Penny's been at Memphis for a while, know he was in the AAU circuit, but you don't think of Penny Hardaway as a great basketball coach. You think of him in commercials with Tyra Banks. And so the lust of, you know, the lore of college basketball is not close to what it used to be. This is going to be Jim Nance's last year on the call. So that's going to lose some sizzle, in my opinion. No disrespect to Ian Eagle. He's great. But that's not going to feel the same anymore.
Isn't the parody? Yeah, sure. But the parody, like the fact that you can watch a game and it can go in any direction. Like, you want to just see super teams? Like, what are you looking for?
Yeah, I would like to you see a team with household names. Like in the early 90s, Leitner.
I wait for the NBA.
Yeah. Okay, so I see what you're saying. So you appreciate the huge stark contrast between college basketball and the NBA, where I think for a lot of people, you want to see the college game be that ultimate springboard for the NBA. And with the international game being what it is today, I mean, we talked about this, JR. I mean, Scoot Henderson and Victor Wembanyama, they are far and away the best NBA prospects. They have not played a minute of college basketball this season.
Sure, they are the best prospects, but that's not to say even recently we haven't seen top players. So the Cougars have Jairus Walker. He's going to be a prospect. He should be taken high. I can think about who else is in my brain. Even past seasons, looking at Jalen Suggs. I ain't seen him in Orlando yet.
He hasn't done anything in the NBA.
He's been hurt.
I understand that. But no one said Jalen Suggs is even going to be Paolo Banchero. Like, when John Morant was at Murray State, like, that was something to watch. Because he was just on a different level than any other player in college basketball that season.
But John Morant wasn't one of these highly touted dudes. So that's why he was there. I mean, if he was, maybe he wouldn't have. Well, I mean, they didn't change. See, all of this has happened so fast. To have a, what do you call it, a G League Ignite team. Scoot Henderson is playing in the G League. Like, that wouldn't have been, he would have been in college.
And that has hurt significantly, JR, the college basketball game, now specifically March Madness. Because he should be playing in March on the biggest stage in college basketball. The biggest stage, JR, by far, that's in America, that's not the NBA when it comes to basketball, is historically college basketball. And players are being sapped.
You think Scoot Henderson is getting hurt? He got. I think it's better to have options.
Yeah, for the players, but not for the game.
What?
For the players, yes, but for the overall game, for the fan, it's a terrible thing.
I don't think so. Fans are still watching in droves. I don't know the numbers. I'm sure by the time we get the numbers over the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the numbers are probably going to be through the roof. We're probably going to have historically high digital numbers because obviously the world is moving towards digital. I bet you there will be, and it's part of the pun, there are going to be more folks who have bet money and got involved in pools. Every number and metric, I would think, is going to lean the other direction. It's going to show or go towards March Madness is still a massive success. Massive for the NCAA, massive in regards to audience, and the fact that there are no legacy players participating. There is no Magic Johnson. There is no Kareem. There's no Patrick or, you know, Michael Jordan. And there's no Grant Hill. I don't think that hurts the tournament. Like, especially for people, a lot of people are putting their money into these tournaments, and they putting cash down, and they're maniacal about trying to see, oh my God, what type of return can I get? I don't think college is hurt because there's no stars. I think we've entered into a space where everybody has options. If I want to watch, you know, amateurs or the next level play, I can now watch the tournament. If I want to watch the next level of stars, I guess I got to go into the NBA app and I got to pull up Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson. But the players, they're not losing anything. Nothing at all. A matter of fact, there are two young guys, the Thompson twins. I watched them at an overtime elite game. This is like semi-pro. They were playing here like a month ago. And they won their championship. Those guys are going to be lottery picks. Two twin brothers going to be lottery picks. The majority of America has never seen them play. It's not going to affect their draft stock. They're still going to go forward. They've already made money here in this overtime elite league. And they're going to get drafted into the NBA and make even more money. So I don't think college is hurt. They just continue to roll money. I don't think they'll be hurt into the future at all either. It's pretty crazy. Speaking of crazy, this game right now is nuts.
What about Arizona State?
TCU and Arizona State, they're currently tied. Wait a minute. Now they're not tied. TCU is at the free throw line trying to take a lead. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. The phone line's open if you want to holler, 855-212-4CBS. When we come back, we should have an update on this TCU-Arizona State game. It may even be a final, maybe. And then you're having a conversation around how the game is changing and who's affected. There's a player in Alabama, you probably know his name. This young man is having to walk around with armed security. Now, that may be bad for the game. That's not a good look. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. More updates and more scores on the other side. Don't move.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR, how you doing, man? I'm a big fan. I like what you do, man. I enjoy your show. You be on point, brother. You doing the same, man. Just wanted to commend you about that.
Hey, John, I love your show, man. I really appreciate what you're doing. You're like the Webster of sports.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, my goodness. We basically got another buzzer beater. TCU just beat Arizona State. The final score, 72-70. I have to see who had a running layup. Oh, my goodness. TCU with a running layup basically just gave them the victory. Arizona State fought back to tie the game at 70 all. TCU sends them home. Gonzaga is next for TCU. The final score again, one more time, 72-70. I was saying to myself, they were going right to the Coles. Number 21 Coles for TCU. A little bit of a floater. Go into the lane. Little teardrop. Touches nothing but the bottom of the net.
You want to hear it, JR?
Yeah, sure. Why not? This is from Westwood One.
You would be correct.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Coles, top of the key, drives into the lane with two. A floater is good! From 6 feet with a second and a half left. Three-quarter court shot for the win. Arizona State, no. And TCU wins 72-70, moving on to the second round to play Gonzaga. Jacoby Coles, who's only an 8-point-per-game scorer, put it on the floor, drove to the middle of the lane, and hit the game-winning shot.
Wow. Congratulations to TCU. Coles is actually being interviewed this very moment, this very second, and he's not basking, but he's enjoying this moment, as he should. And that leaves us with one game. There's only one game left tonight to be determined, and I think unless Mike Woodson's squad chokes it away, Indiana, they will probably hold on to beat Kent State. The score as of right now is 64-50. About 6.5 minutes left in the game. It would be a complete shocker if Indiana just kind of choked this one away. Man, these games, they come hot and heavy. They're just, you turn your head and there's a game here and this game is finished and this game is done. Let's see what TCU can do against the Zags. That'll be interesting to see. Congratulations to TCU. And, you know, right before we went to the break, we were talking about just not necessarily seeing the stars and having big moments, and a lot of the top prospects aren't currently participating. there is a star that's lottery bound participating in the tournament. Unfortunately, there is so much drama surrounding him, and his name is Brandon Miller. This is unfortunately someone who wasn't accused of a crime. We know about the shooting and the death of the young lady. There's capital murder charges against his former teammate, Darius Miles. Brandon Miller reportedly delivered him the gun that was used in the murder. But Brandon Miller, no charges, I told you. He was there, he was participated, but he hasn't been accused. And so, because nothing happened, he's playing basketball. In Alabama, they knocked off Texas A&M Corpus Christi 96-75, and Brandon Miller, he didn't have any points. And it's not because he was shell-shocked about the situation. He's dealing with a sore groin. So Alabama is going to take on Maryland next, and with everything surrounding Brandon Miller, you know, I remember that first game he played. I can't remember the exact score, but he lit it up. And I was saying to myself, damn, Alabama could have just told him, hey, man, sit out this one. We're not saying that you're guilty, but it's probably a good idea, maybe out of a little bit of respect, to just lay low for a couple of days. But he hasn't been charged with anything. He hasn't been accused of a crime, so he's clear. But now here's the kicker. Brandon Miller is an NBA prospect. I'd be surprised if this man fell out of, I don't know, the top five picks or selections. He is walking around the NCAA tournament with an armed guard. Like, there's a gentleman, security, with a weapon with him at all damn times, especially in public. And a lot of people were taken aback to see him walk into the arena the other day and go, whoa, he got security in front. He got the weapon. He got it right on his hip. And his head coach, Nate Oates, he was asked about this. Why is Brandon Miller out here? And why does he need security? Take a listen to Nate Oates explain.
If you guys saw some of what I've seen sent his way, I think you'd understand why that's the case, and I don't want to get into all that. It's the entire situation, as you know, it's just a heartbreaking situation on all accounts, but some of the messages from people that can sit behind fake email addresses, but who knows whether they're real or not, that I've seen, something that nobody would ever want their son. I treat my players like my own sons. I don't have a son. I have three daughters. But I put myself in his parents' shoes. And our administration's seen the stuff that I've seen, and it's appropriate. It's nothing a college kid should have to go through. So I think if you were able to see what I've seen, you'd understand why that's going on right now.
Okay, he's getting threats. And so now he has armed security. I've never seen this. I've been to my share of Final Fours and big tournaments and basketball games taking place in stadiums. I have never seen a player need, like, armed security. Of course, there are officers all over the place, officers, marshals, security everywhere, police. But never, never, ever, like, put next to one player. I've seen Michael Jordan right in front of my damn face. Michael Jordan didn't have, and maybe the guy had it under somewhere. Michael Jordan had no security next to him. But I understand there's a lot of heat surrounding Brandon Miller. And so, Shep, if you're wondering where, like, the stars are, like the real, real big stars, the future stars, here he is. And he unfortunately needs an armed security guard in plain sight directly in front of him.
Man, is that the coach just absolutely making sure that his player now becomes a sympathetic individual? Is you think that's what he's trying to do here? Because let's what be is honest.
He, what was he supposed to say? If I ask, hey, what's up with the guard? I mean, what are you supposed to say?
No, what you're supposed to say is something you should have done in terms of the actions instead of what you said. And you said it when he had when the report came out and he was not found guilty by law, but yet was there by association, right? At that point in time, JR, you have to take a step back and say, how does this look from an optics perspective?
So
what does he do? You said it. He has the game of his life against South Carolina, and that became the biggest story in college basketball. And
how many points did he have in that game?
So, JR, you said it, 41 points, which was his career high. You know what? You know how many points the rest of the team had? And they won by 2 points that game.
No, what did they do?
The rest of the team combined for 37. He had 41.
And this is like right after the young lady was murdered.
Because remember, it was when the sheriff came out and gave his you know, I don't want to say spiel because I don't want to be lighthearted about it, but when he gave his report, this was the game right after that. The game against South Carolina. And South Carolina was chanting, lock him up. And then
Right? I remember that.
And then that Saturday, JR, he did a pat down in front of everyone by a walk-on and felt no remorse for that. And so then the coach had to come out afterwards and say, well, I didn't see it. I'm too busy drawing up game notes. And then
he had to apologize for that crap.
Yeah, and so it's just this Alabama program has been a disaster. I don't care what they do in terms of wins and losses in the NCAA tournament. They have been such a bad representation for college basketball this season. And Brandon, the fact that he has a bodyguard speaks volumes about he should not be there right now.
Well, Alabama is going to take on Maryland. That game is still taking place in Birmingham. So for now, up until this point, you know, Alabama is going to, they're going to feel the love playing close to home, not too far away. It's not out of the realm of possibility that they continue to advance. And if they continue to advance, and I know Brandon Miller, he had a sore groin, and groins don't necessarily improve overnight. We see the same thing with Houston, with Sasser. It would be a nightmare if Alabama continues on, and they have a good chance to beat Maryland. Of course they do, sure. It will be a disaster if Alabama keeps winning. Could you imagine if they end up in Houston? You know what that whole weekend is going to be like? Oh, my God.
So much for the Jim Nance farewell.
Oh, man, Jim Nance is going to be talking about other things. In the most roundabout way, all the controversy surrounding Brent, nobody's going to talk about it. Not on the broadcast, maybe a little bit, but everything surrounding it, Alabama might be beat to shreds as they continue on. See what happens. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. Yep, there's your NBA prospect, Brandon Miller. Let's see what he does. I don't know how much he's going to play or if he'll play against Maryland tomorrow based on that sore groin from the last game. Speaking of someone who's familiar with the pros and also familiar with controversy, his name is Rick Pitino. I'm going to open up the phone lines to you. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to talk about Rick Pitino on the other side of the break. This man just, he won't go away. It's like a bad cold.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the first day that I've heard your show, and what a find. Great show. You have a smooth delivery and the way that you handle talk radio.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know, when I left you in the last break, Marco Belletti said that there's a few minutes, seconds left in the final game of the night. That game is now over. Indiana, they beat Kent State. The final score is 71-60. Indiana had a chokehold on this game for the majority of it. And next up for Indiana, they're going to take on Miami. They're going to take on the Hurricanes. And it was only a couple of hours ago that the Miami Hurricanes beat Drake 63-56. And so Jim Larrañaga and the Hurricanes, they are ready to go. And we actually had a conversation with Miami Hurricanes forward, Norchad Omier. He joined us. He finished the night with 12 points and 14 rebounds. And this is what Indiana's going to have to take on next. Good luck to the Hoosiers. I had a chance to ask Norchad a few questions. And I said, hey, you just won this game. It wasn't easy. At one point in time, Drake led. How did y'all stick together? Why did you stick together? This is what Norchad had to say.
We came in the locker room at halftime. You know, he said that we march, you know, everything that's in the tournament is really good. You know, you got to give credit to Drake. They're a really good team. You know, you just stick together. That they're going to be adversity. And you just got to stick together, trust your teammates, and play the game.
Well, they certainly went out there and played the game. I told you about Norchad's numbers, 12 points, 14 rebounds. At the moment that we spoke, Indiana and Kent State were still in action. We know Indiana right now. I told you they beat Kent State. And I said, man, what the hell are you going to be doing between now and that game on Sunday? How are you going to go out there and prepare? What are you looking forward to? And this is what Norchad had to say.
We know coming out here in the tournament, every team we play is going to be a good team. You know, they earned the right to come to March Madness. So it's, every team in the tournament is great teams. And the number 16 seed is beat Purdue number one seed. So you can't underestimate anybody. You got to come out, play. You know, we prepare really good. We practice hard. We practice physically, mentally, you know. Just getting ready for any adversity and, you know, get over it.
Yeah. Look, you get one shot. Norchad transferred over from Arkansas State. Now he's playing for the Hurricanes. There was no guarantee that – there's no guarantee that he'll play any bigger games than the one that he's playing in right now. And then you heard him reference a 16 seed beating the number one. Yeah, we talking about Fairleigh Dickinson, you know, going out there and beating Purdue. And now we can all take a little bit of a breath because all of today's games are done. We have gone from 68 teams with the first four included. We've gone from 64 teams over the past 2 days, Thursday and Friday. Now we're down to 32 teams. I mean, a quick rundown through a lot of the games that took place today. Xavier beat Kennesaw State, 72-67. We saw Pitt beat Iowa State, 59-41. UConn, they did this. UConn smacked Iona, 87-63. And I want you to hear from Rick Pitino. We'll play that for you at the top of the hour. Like last night we talked about all of these head coaches that have pretty much packed it up and packed it in, decided to call it a career. Rick Pitino, he ain't quit yet. Fairleigh Dickinson, we know they beat Purdue. A lot of miserable people there. Gonzaga, Zags, they are now going to move forward to take on TCU. Pretty cool. Zags beat Grand Canyon 82-70. I just told you about Miami and Drake. We heard from Norchad. FAU and Memphis. You know, one thing I try to figure out. How long is Penny Hardaway going to stick around in Memphis? Like, that was a... That loss sucked. There's no other way to put it. Penny Hardaway not happy with his team at the end of the game there. Pretty bad. Kansas State beat Montana State. Indiana. And now the games. We'll see Furman. And last night we had a hell of a conversation. Shep, I'm actually surprised at how many people called up last night. and they were they bigging up San? I feel like between San Diego State and the Sacramento Kings, people were just bigging them up.
You know, it's interesting. Furman has gotten so much more love than Fairleigh Dickinson.
You think so?
Yes. Like, people are so more enamored by that win. Yeah.
Maybe it's because, well, Virginia and Purdue, they have both choked in different ways. I mean.
Yeah. And JR, I got to tell you, you talked about Memphis, and obviously you've talked about Ewing. Chris Mullin got the door. He got the pink slip very early at St. John's. Another guy
Penny,
who's on the hot seat.
Wait.
Yeah.
Let's get to the point here.
Right.
You think Penny is going to get the boot?
What I'm saying is, no. And Juwan Howard, he's not exactly.
Oh, my God. He's not even here.
He's on the hot seat right now. Let's be real.
He's slapping other coaches, and he's still here.
The point is, all four of them were NBA. Juwan Howard, to some degree, definitely Ewing, Penny, and Mullen, were NBA superstars. And there was that whole narrative when Penny Hardaway got this job that he skipped multiple steps, that he was a name, and it was bad for all the guys that paid their dues as video coordinators and assistant coaches and then associate head coaches.
He was Jeff Saturday before Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, now again, it was college basketball. He was Penny in the NBA. He coached AAU. And so it's interesting that this has not been a good couple years for NBA players going to the college basketball ranks. The general, Avery Johnson, what happened when they gave him the boot and Nate Oates took over?
Oh, well. Is Avery on TV now? He's still on TV?
Well, exactly. He's a CBS Sports NBA insider.
Right.
And so he did not do a good job at Alabama. In Dallas, he looked like Red Auerbach, right? But he goes to Alabama. He struggled mightily.
It's tough out here, man. I told you, the coaches, they don't garner the same respect. I think the biggest thing in Penny Hardaway's time, I know he brought in Amani Bates. That didn't work out. He had Wiseman out there, that didn't work out. So Penny has attracted talent, but does it really matter who you attract when you're getting the boot? They lost to Florida Atlantic. No disrespect, but Penny Hardaway, you could see the disgust in his face. Memphis loses tonight 66-65 to a team that just won its first championship ever. Shout-outs to head coach Dustin May. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to talk more March Madness. We'll hear about Rick Pitino. We got a lot to do. Don't move.
Goalie gummies get you so close to your goals, you can actually taste them. The trick? Simply start with bite-sized steps, like Goalie's apple cider vinegar gummies with added B vitamins for daily health, or Goalie ashwagandha gummies to help you relax, restore, and unwind. Tastes like wellness just got a whole lot better. And when goals taste this good, it's easy to achieve them. Goalie, taste your goals. Learn more at goalie.com today.
It's March, and that can mean only one thing. The madness is here. Not in front of a TV on game day? Listen to every round of NCAA March Madness live from Westwood One, free in the Odyssey app. Catch all the biggest moments of the tournament, no matter where you are, from Cinderella's.
A 15 seed will head to the Elite Eight.
To buzzer beaters.
Atkinson scores. 1.4 seconds left.
To champions.
For the fourth time.
Search for NCAA March Madness right here in the Odyssey app to get started.